Welcome again to the Building Buffalo podcast. I'm Newell Nussbaumer. Today, I'm at Kachina Restaurant at the Richardson Hotel with Executive Chef Valentina Garcia Montano and Dr. Michael Stanley Gorisdorfer. Hello, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Michael, let's start off. What's your role in all of this?
I bring it together. I serve tables, I wait tables here, and I make the magic.
And you've been doing this for how long?
In this business, 26 years, but here, particularly at Richardson Hotel, Kachina, since last May. So almost a year now.
Yeah, and you help to run the front of the house. You run the front of the house. What's your role?
I take care of people. I literally take care of people, wait tables. So that's as much as it can be. I'm not admin. I put on the show.
You put on the show. And how long have you been doing this again for?
Front of the house work. I've been doing for 15 out of my 26 years.
Yeah.
Between bartending and serving, et cetera.
Oh, that's great. Now, Chef Val, when you came on board with Douglas Development, what was the task at hand? Because I know it must have been pretty difficult considering the scale of what we're seeing here.
Yes, this was a huge challenge. This is my first restaurant, hotel job. I am always being the chef of a restaurant, so there's a lot less to worry about. Hotel is so much more than that. You have mornings, you have banquets, you have weddings, you have the restaurant, you have the bar. So there's a lot going on all at once. So you have to have all your senses.
Yeah. Now, open. What did you do to basically get yourself up to speed with that?
I try to surround myself and build my team with the best people that I know. So I made sure that I had all the people that make me feel like confident.
Mm-hmm.
And so creating the team is the most important part. And then they did the same with the front of the house. And I feel like we are very fortunate to work with each other. I feel like everybody here from the culinary team into the front of the house team are very knowledgeable and they take it serious. And it's so rewarding to work in a restaurant where people take their job serious. Like Michael, I have friends that live in New York City that worked in Michelin restaurants. And they had told me that it's the best service that they've ever had.
Hmm. Well, that's a compliment.
But not only one person. I mean, I have three people that have said that to me. And coming from them because of who they are, that's how I knew. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I just got to have patience. Just listen to him.
Yeah.
And communicate because he obviously knows something. He always knew that I knew something. So I listen.
Did you know each other previously? No.
But we have a good relationship now. Now that we understand each other, like I tell Belle all the time, I say I love serving your food. I love giving your food to people because like I can see it, you know, it's like there's food. And then there's this spiritual experience of like giving someone this dish. And I know there's going to be a surprise somewhere in it. You know, it's like, and that's what matters because it makes the difference between eating and dining and really enjoying your life.
Absolutely.
Right.
And a little unexpected, a little surprise, like you said, and you also, he always tells me the same. Like I sell stories. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, stories of who you are. Tries to sell not just the food, the experience. And mm-hmm. That's what Michael does. He brings you your food, but he creates this unforgettable dining experience. And that's what makes the difference between getting food, going out to eat, and then going out for dining experience like this one.
Right. Chef Bell, where do these stories come from for you?
From 20 years of being a crazy person in the restaurant.
Right.
Degenerate.
Yeah.
And then you find another degenerate that gets it, and then we're into something.
Yeah. So were the early years of you doing this, was that really some of the more formidable times for you? What were some of the eras that really speak to you?
Absolutely. I worked at Tempo Restaurant for 17 years. It was one of the nicest restaurants in the city. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that definitely shaped me as the chef that I am now. I basically did a little bit of everything over there. Worked most of the stations. I was pastry chef and I catering, offsite parties, all of it. So it was definitely my school. Yeah. I went to culinary school too, but like the real school was that.
Yeah, well, that, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the menu.
So when they hired me, they said that they wanted to have an Italian restaurant. And I was like, okay, perfect. I've been working in Italian restaurants my whole life. That's my strong point. And so I just wanted to have a menu that was kind of like up to, ¿cómo se dice? At the same level as the building, you know? Right. This is a beautiful building, gorgeous space, elegant, classic. So it, my lemma is always like, classics done right. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. We could be creative and expressive in so many ways in the, on the special card and stuff, but obviously in the regular menu too. But I want it to be classic Italian, more like Italian food, like in Italy, not so much like what everybody thinks, like a stuffed banana pepper and spaghetti meat. That's not Italian food. I'm sorry, you know? So we wanted to do that. I mean, obviously there's things that you have to have because people want, and we're in Buffalo, so you have to adapt to all of that. But, you know, the menu being in Italian, just like a little different. Like, I love going out to dinner and not knowing what something is in the menu. I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is, you know? It excites me.
You know, so that's, I want people to feel like that. That's really interesting. Have you really had to adapt to, like, the, to the customers? Or, I mean, yeah?
I can hear the voice of my old boss yelling at me, like, we're in Buffalo, pal, you know?
That's a big thing, though, too.
Like, it's a little disappointing at times.
It's, yeah. You gotta, like,
is it, do you see it kind of a light at the end of the tunnel for that? More and more people, I would think that these days it might be changing
now
a little
people
bit.
Want to be, you know, see different things and, be surprised. But then you have the diners that if they don't recognize what it is, they just always go to what's comfortable.
So what's
you
have, comfortable,
you know, two different types you have of to diners, have a, you adventurous,
have to have a, right. And you have to have a little bit of both of those offerings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we do here.
Yeah. It's,
we help people take chances. I help people take chances comfortably. You know, people want to trust, right? So if you're a person who's your typical, I guess you're, we'll call them a classic Buffalo diner who wants the familiar, there are many options that we can provide together through storytelling and excellent composition that will help that person go from just having the plate they know to enjoying it even more with a bit of change, a bit of fun.
To be the best of that you had, yes. You know? I want, if we're going to have common popular dishes, then I want mine to be the best one you had, you know?
That's right.
The best
right.
bolognese, the best cacio e pepe, the best chicken mille. It's hard because everybody makes it, so you really have to, actually with the most common dishes, that's where you have to bring it the most.
You got
to
be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a pro.
You got to execute consistently. And it's got to hit the table at the right time in the right way with the right feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the magic gets done.
It's that's how the magic up. Happens.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Earlier today, Michael mentioned an unusual aspect of the menu, wakatan.
Wakatai.
The wakatai?
The wakatai.
The wakatai.
Mm-hmm.
He's enamored with this. Can you tell me a little
absolutely.
Bit about that?
So in the north of Argentina and then Bolivia and Peru, this is an herb that grows in that area, native to South America. It's like a mix between mint, cilantro, and parsley. It's very fragrant, but it has this like licorice undernotes. And for here in America, it's also known as black mint. So I know this lady. She's a farmer. She owns Crown Hill Farm. Her name is Missy. I love her. She's my friend. And one time we were talking. I do a plant-based dinners at her farm with somebody else, you know, that was working with. And I get to be there and enjoy everything that she grows. And one time she told me, she's like, if there's anything that you can find and that you would like me to grow. And like, I was like, yes.
And where is this?
I need wakatai. This is in Eden.
In Eden?
She's local.
Huh. How cool is that?
So super she
cool.
grows wakatai only for me.
No way.
Some other farmer grows it too. But it's available for, if you do the farm to table here in the Buffalo scene, there is another farmer, Erin from Root Down. She also grows wakatai, and not many people know about it. I just haven't had the chance. to start working with her here at the Richardson, but I work with her other places. So I can't wait till I can bring all that local.
You love what you do and you know it.
Yes.
It's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit it.
Yes, it is.
Right? It's okay to love things.
So I feel special when somebody grows something, grows it for you. You know,
right?
You feel special. And then also like Michael, he's like, oh my God, this tastes incredible. So one of the most amazing things that you make with wakatai, it's the sauce for the Peruvian chicken. Yeah.
The ají verde.
The ají verde. And then, I know, he loves that. But you could also be creative and use it in different ways that it may not be the most authentic way for our South American cuisine, but it doesn't matter. That's how you open up your mind and you start serving ají verde with the scallop dish. And people are like, oh my God, this is
so really good with scallops too.
Yes.
Like food, like I would say if I had to give us a term for what we do here, we serve enlightenment on a dish. It's like this can open your mind, right? And all the different parts of the experience come together in that moment when you say, what is going on? I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Along these lines, there is a menu item that Michael was describing earlier with Tobiko flying fish eggs that are dyed black to look like caviar. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? I mean, like, where does that inspiration for that come from?
That is
like,
instead of just
serving caviar like everybody else does.
Well, that's a garnish to a seafood dish. You mm-hmm. know, when you like have a beautiful dish, that dish is. We were serving it, and I just changed it based on seasonality and availability. But that was a set for our halibut. So it's a pan-seared halibut with the lobster sauce underneath, and then I garnished with a little bit of the black Tobiko, mm-hmm. just to give you a little texture contrast, a little umami, and that extra fishiness. But it's a garnish. It's another component of the dish. Like everybody can serve a little caviar, amuse-bouche, but he also could be creative with that.
Yeah,
right.
Michael, you described this building and the operation as a setting for life. What do you mean by that?
So, like, where does life happen? Life happens in places, and it happens with people. So when you want to live, which we all do, you want to live well where it's best to live. And this is a building like that. So when you come to us and you say, I'm having a wedding, or I'm having dinner, or I'm having anything, I'm having a moment in my life, the power of that moment, the intensity and the memory of that moment is enhanced. It's bigger because you're here. Because mm-hmm. that's what I mean by that. When you do life, do it big and do it in a place that's unique. And that's what you get when you do it in person for real.
Yeah. Val, does this building speak to you?
In which way? A lot of different ways. We were talking about that the other day. Michael was like, let's just get away from the stigma of the ghosts and stuff. Let's move on. Let's change this story.
Moving on
to the light era too. But yes, there is definitely a lot of energy in this yeah. building. We've all heard it.
Yeah.
It speaks to me and my daughter's voice.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. The cuckoos are here. But I'm not scared.
Yeah.
He's not scared.
Right.
So
why would you be?
We're here now. You know, go somewhere else.
Do you find yourself walking the grounds, walking the building, kind of looking for that inspiration just when you've got an hour to kill, just to kind of see what's out there, what is always reflective? And
we used to call it going exploring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the first 3 months that I work here, I did a lot of exploring. Now I'm done exploring. I think I've seen enough. I would love to go to the other wings that are not remodeled. Mm-hmm. But yes, we've done a lot of that. And there's also, you know, this little secret room where we store this, or where did they put this? So you get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go a lot exploring.
So much novelty.
Yeah.
There's so many nooks and crannies. There's so many twists and turns.
Right.
Like
right.
the tower.
Oh, yeah, the tower.
Oof,
getting
that's
into the
scary.
Tower.
That's scary.
Towers
you get
weird.
Dizzy. You don't feel yeah. good up there.
Oh, you've been to the top of the tower? Mm-hmm. You're kidding. Wow.
You can
nope. That's pretty neat.
You can go.
We can take
you.
Okay.
Oh, I know the way.
I know the way.
Somebody show me the way.
Yeah. Michael, tell me about the cocktail program.
So when it comes down to cocktails, beverages here, it's up to you. If you come to me and you just tell me what you're looking for, and I do this all the time. Like we have our takes on the standards. You know, we have a really nice version of a Manhattan that's made with an Amaro as opposed to vermouth. It's heavier and richer and deeper. But if you come to me with anything, I can get you there. So the cocktail program here is very adaptive. It's very freeform, and it's very much geared towards that individuality that each cocktail possesses. You can never make the same cocktail twice. So say you come to me and you say, I want to get an Aperol Spritz. I can easily say, well, we can do that with a beautiful sparkling rosé too, to like have a take on it for the day, the time of year, anything like that. So it's all about that customization. That's how we work it here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there a direct? Do the bartenders work with the kitchen staff?
They do.
For creation of the cocktail menu.
That's my job.
Yeah.
My job is to put all the pieces together, compose dinner. It's a composition. It's like working with an orchestra, mm-hmm. and that's the magic of service. It's the magic of the floor. We put it together as theater, and yeah, we all work together.
Yeah,
because we can have without that conversation, where's the creativity, right? You know, that's what really makes a great restaurant, a great experience, great. That creativity working together,
right? Chef Val, what was the last thing that you learned that you incorporated into your menu?
Well, you're never done learning. Actually, this morning, I'm studying and revisiting this whole new pizza dough program. So we're always trying to improve. We're always trying to be better, 1% better every day. Mm-hmm. That's what we, mm-hmm. I'm always looking for the best way to do this, the best way to execute that. How are we going to get this to be perfect? Every single day you have to think about how you're going to be better and how you're going to improve what you're doing. If you don't do that, you are not giving it your full potential. So yes, today I was learning about how to make pizza, and this pizza dough that I want to make here, it takes 3 days to make.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
1 day for the poolish, 1 day of mixing that, and then the next day you shape it. So it takes 3 day process for just pizza dough. I mean, that's how serious we take it.
And you will be doing all this, or you'll be teaching people this?
Greg and I, we do a lot of things together. We co-chef in a lot of sense. You know, I'm the chef and he's the sous chef, but we do a lot of things together. And I love communicating and be like, hey, why are we going to do this? So we collaborate and we do things. So I'd be like, okay, how about this? And then we'll make a batch and see what happens and, you know, play with it until mm-hmm. it's perfect.
Have you gone to other places to kind of check out their pizzas, whether it's in other cities? Where do you go to find the inspiration for mm-hmm. the next level pizzas?
Mm-hmm. Here in Buffalo, we have pretty good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to go too far. We have.
Well, your style pizza here is.
Napolitan.
Yeah.
Wood fire pizza. I love Jace Artisan. Mm-hmm. But I also love Forno Napoli. Mm. I know the owner. He's my friend. We used to work together back in the day. And I just love when people take that. You know, James is so passionate about his pizza. And that's inspiration to me. You know, I don't want to be like him, but I want to be good like him.
That's right. You also do house-made breads.
Yes.
All sorts of breads, right? Yeah.
Well, I have a background as a pastry chef. So all the desserts here are homemade. I make them. And every day I like, if you're going to do bread service, you have to make it like to me. So it's like if you're an artist and you then you don't sing live, like right. If you buy things that are already made, then why am I here? Like we buy ingredients and we make food. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. Yeah. I could buy bread, but I like making my own because everybody, like people write us emails about the focaccia.
It's great.
You know what I mean? Like it's something so simple, but if it's done, it's like, again, a classics. Done right, mm-hmm. that just, you can't forget that. I love focaccia. I love artisan bread. Mm-hmm. It just takes a little time of your day. You get it done. And it's just, I feel like once you bake it, it creates.
The texture is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. More and more people baking. These days are obviously tuning into the local farm community, the regional farm community. Mm-hmm. Do you grow anything on this campus?
Actually, we were talking about this today. There is a beautiful space by the entrance of the building, that cross where
the
we
cross.
Do, yeah. Yeah. So I just talked to management and this is the time because it's about to be spring. So I want to grow edible flowers and herbs in there. I used to do it at other places that I worked. I grow my own stuff at home. I've been growing, having successful gardens for the last 7 years. So I love growing. That's what I do every morning. I'm outside pulling weeds in my garden, doing this. Like I love going outside and cutting green onions and cilantro and tomatoes and lettuce and arugula and then going back inside. Like I don't shop for produce for like 2 months.
Yeah,
I
know, yeah,
I
right.
wish it was so much, but just for 2 months, I don't gotta shop.
It's the ultimate in terroir. Like when you
right.
It's the ultimate terroir. I would love to garnish a cocktail with huacatay. Like find a way to like make like a mezcal cocktail with light mezcal with huacatay.
Can you do
it
that?
I can do.
Can
I
you
can do that?
Can you do that and give me one?
Yes,
I'll pay for it. But I want one.
Yes.
I want to try that.
You can pay for it too.
Okay.
Oh man, we can make a great cocktail with like freshly picked huacatay in peak season, beautifully aromatic, savory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
The world deserves good things.
100%.
I agree, Michael. What makes a good server?
You got to love people. Period. You must love people. You connect with them, and you consciously and actively choose to be there with them, and you are there with them to give them comfort. Because the world out there can be crazy, but that's what we do here. We create a place of peace and joy and happiness through the lens of making dinner for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you come to the hotel and it's morning or afternoon, you're not currently operating at those times, right? As far as like the restaurant goes.
Not right now, but I don't know what's in the works. I've heard things are in the works. Do you know anything about that? Are we doing anything? But there are restaurants in the neighborhood, like Daniela, which is excellent. I can see us in the future developing into full service room service, providing, you know, additional types of breakfast and lunch options, but I can't give a definite timeline. That's above my pay grade.
It's been a growing baby steps. Literally this week, the major task that we had was to improve our breakfast offerings. Now everything that we offer in that continental breakfast is homemade. Mm-hmm. We were baking every day at 6 a.m, just making muffins and banana bread and Yorkshire puddings and pastries.
So that is available.
This week, literally, I just changed the breakfast program.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we've been working on that. I think it's so important that every little, so it's been baby steps. First, we needed to get the restaurant going,
exactly.
You know, then, you know, we've worked on the bar offerings. Then we figure out, you know, making the breakfast offerings better. It was kind of sad, and people were always talking about how disappointing it was. And like, I just don't want to hear that. I want people to say, oh my God, it was so amazing.
Do it right.
So that's what we're trying now. Mm-hmm. Baby steps. There's a lot of room for improvement. Yeah. We're still trying to get there. I like the direction. You know, I see the light. Mm-hmm. I think that we're moving towards the right direction. And that's what we can hope for. Have the best team possible.
Yeah.
And people that care.
Right.
It's like any other startup. What really gets you through it is the quality of your team, because your product might change, your market might change, but the ability to stick together and to kind of flow with change is what gets it done, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Obviously, the interior of this place is amazing. It's just gorgeous. Very historic. Incredible stories. Mm-hmm. The rebirth of the complex.
Spaces are not built like that anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not at all. But then there are the grounds, and obviously you had just mentioned, you know, growing some of your some things you know, outside on the campus. But like, are there going to be like this summer places for people to sit outside and enjoy food or drinks? I know last summer that was happening with a cocktail program, but what about food?
We're actually talking about all our special events for the season. We're planning them out, yes. So there's going to be, for example, the Eclipse Watching Party on April.
Oh, you are doing one.
We're sold out. The hotel is sold out for stayovers. We're going to be open for brunch. I'm going to be open for lunch that day at Cucina. We're making it a whole weekend out of that. And then that's exactly what we're trying to develop. It's how do we go outside, make everybody in the neighborhood involved. This is a good space. Everyone in the neighborhood brings their dogs, walks around. They're all here anyway. So if there's another attraction and another reason for them to come, that's what we're definitely looking for and trying to work on. We actually had a meeting about this morning.
It's a great place to be.
Yes.
And the grounds are part of that place, right? You don't get – I hear people all the time from around the world, like from London, from Paris, from like Shanghai. Like, what is this place? I'm like, this is what Buffalo is. This is what we do here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're opening it up, right?
Yeah.
Michael, tell me about the relationship between the hotel, the restaurant, and the gallery district.
So we have tremendous opportunity here to really be hospitality as high art. That's how I see it. That's my direction. That's my take on it. What we do here is because of the right intentions and sticking together. Like, it's not just the food. It's the experience that's art. I think about the Isabella Stewart Gardner and the Back Bay Fens in Boston as a good example of a similar place. We can be doing that here in Buffalo, but we have even more space. We're not constrained by the heavily built up urban environment of Boston. We can like spread out. Like, that's what we can do here. We have room to grow here. And I would love to see more interaction with the Birchfield Penny, with Buffalo State University, with the University of Buffalo, and with, you know, the AKG also, mm-hmm. that says, let's bring art
we're
alive
working.
In our
space. We have a relationship now with AKG.
Yes.
So
oh, I didn't
we
know
work
that.
It, yes. We're doing a fundraiser there. And they're always trying to be like, oh, sending their business after the exhibits. Go to the Richardson, go have a drink. Elizabeth and all the ladies and Jessica, my friend, she's the executive chef there. Mm-hmm. We're always in touch trying to, because we're the part of the scene. You know, people go there, people go here. Mm-hmm. If we can't take care of someone, you send them over. We're always trying to, you know, work with each other, help each other.
Mm-hmm. And my brother went over there for lunch 4 days ago, and he said it was the best chicken sandwich he'd ever had in his entire life.
I believe it, because so, Jessica makes it.
Yeah.
It's classics done right.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Which is great.
You know? I want to see us become here at Richardson Hotel, Cucina, the Gallery District of Buffalo. I want to see us become the finest experience for hospitality, for dining in the damn world. And I want to see us show people what Buffalo really is made of, which is not just classics done right, but it's also the capacity to take that and innovate from it and to go forward to try things that are new.
Yeah, I love the innovative aspect. Yeah,
it's take chances. Because right. That's where you grow. Where's the
growth? That is the only way to grow.
Take chances.
Yeah.
Of course.
Get up when you fall.
Chef Val, what are a couple of the menu items that people will just not let you take off the menu that just people just go crazy for?
And we're talking about, again, you know, those comfort food, Buffalo classics, mm-hmm. like cacio e pepe, mm-hmm. pasta bolo. Then we want to be creative, but obviously a nice, beautiful Caesar salad, even though it's not really Italian. Caesar salads are Mexican. Classics, the pizza. You know, it's a hotel. We have to have a little burger. You know, we just try to please everyone.
Got to have a burger.
We can't please everybody all the time, but we can do our best. Right?
Yes.
Have nice tiramisu. That's one thing that's never going to leave the menu.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the trick to making the best burger in Buffalo?
Good beef.
Yeah?
Always. Mm-hmm.
Where do you get the beef from?
I get it from where our local purveyors is actually a Schneider Seafood. Okay. They have amazing beef program as well. We get ground Wagyu beef.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing a lot of local, local, local. Obviously, that's what mm-hmm. we all strive for. Is there anything that's not local that you wish was local? That could be local? Like, give me a couple things, just in case anybody out there is listening.
Well,
the farm community or...
The only problem that we have here is that our farm is seasonality. You know, we have certain months of the year that we could really enjoy that, you mm-hmm. know. And then the rest is just you gotta kind of work with what's available, and it's not going to be super farm to table. So we only get that luxury here to do it for like 3-4 months out of the whole year. But mm-hmm. after that, you still have to stay seasonal. It may not be exactly local, but you still want to sell seasonal things. Like, I don't sell tomatoes in January.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You only have a time for that. There is always a time for everything. And if you understand what grows and what time and what season, obviously you're always going to get, you know, canned tomatoes or mm-hmm. this, that. You can't make everything from scratch. Everybody says, oh, well, you get canned tomatoes. Well, if I don't have to, I don't. But if you know, sometimes you need to go there.
That's right. Know? Yeah. Michael, if I was going to call Douglas Jamal tomorrow and ask him to build a year-round greenhouse on the campus, do you think he would?
Yeah, I think Mr. Jamal would, because he's a man who understands what's really valuable. He's got a good eye for value, which is why he's investing in Buffalo. He knows, and so anything like that will help us get further with this. And that would also improve the community's awareness.
And also, I love what he's doing about the historical buildings. He's preserving the mm-hmm. essence and the identity of a city. Instead of having another development that will knock it out and build something else, like everything else in the work, mm-hmm. ugly and with no personality. So for that reason, I always love to be a part of this, because in a way, you're still preserving. You're preserving the essence of a city, you know, mm-hmm. buying all these properties. Like, the Statler, mm-hmm. The Electric Tower, Seneca One, mm-hmm. here, the Roycroft. It's kind of crazy to think that one person wants it, but I see the vision, and mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And I wish that a lot of more people thought that way, opposed to, you know, building new stuff that has no personality, that you could just design and take it from anywhere.
These places have life and character.
History.
And personality. They mm-hmm. have stories.
Yep.
There is... When you erase the urban landscape, it's like cutting down a primeval forest. So what Mr. Jamal is doing is saying, we're going to preserve the big trees that are left, because we know that those big trees can help regenerate the forest, right? So that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need, because that's what works.
Yeah.
Why does everybody love Europe? And why does everybody think it's so perfect when you drink your coffee? Because it's tradition, because it's preserved, because nothing... got rid of it, you know?
That's right.
And then you go and you feel like you're somewhere else. The time mm-hmm. didn't go by. Like, I love that about Buffalo. The architecture here is beautiful. And little by little, if you go in Elmwood, you see that the buildings that used to be there, now it's a complete different mm-hmm. thing. So that happens all the time. And just preserving the identity, I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up by ECMC. I grew up on Dewey Avenue by Blessed Trinity Church. So... That's where I came from. And I'm still here because Well, because what else would you want to do with your life besides bring a city back to life, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. What drew you into the restaurant business?
Need.
Yeah.
There was a need to get into the business because I had to support myself. I started out washing dishes, doing concessions, and through everything else I've done in my life, it's been the one consistent thing that I've done. It's real. It's not just a skilled trade. It's an artisan's work. Yeah. It's art. So what drew me in was need. What kept me here was like love of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Chef Bell, where are you originally from?
The story is long. So I was born in Houston, Texas, and then I grew up in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back when I was 21 to Buffalo because my mom was here. So I'm a Houston girl that grew up in Argentina and came back to Buffalo.
Wow. That wasn't that long.
No. Good. I learned my story.
Exactly.
Condense it into a few sentences. I used to be a waitress, so everybody always asked me the same. They're like, oh my God, I noticed an accent. Where are you from? And like, so I had my little line like rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was like very efficient.
Yeah. So I'll ask both of you this. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you see this in 5 years?
I would love to have a restaurant in the Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much happening there. I've seen, talk about local. Dairy farms, beef farms, obviously the wine, wheat. Everything is produced there. That's like literally where the sources of most of our local region is the Finger Lakes. There's so much happening, so much new growth. There's a lot going on, and I love going there. One of my best friends, he's very familiar with that. He goes to all the wineries. His life is wine. So I got to experience the best places because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel very lucky to have experienced all those things, like wine tastings, wine festivals, things that you never even thought or knew about. It's just so, you learn so much.
Yeah.
You learn so much.
All the things we could gorgeous. Do on this campus, right?
Oh, so many things. So much that could be
so, done. So tie in further with the Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Michael?
So I want to be here in 5 years. Here is this place, this city, this region. And I want people to come here, and I want them to do things here, and I want them to do things at places like Richardson Hotel, like Seneca One, and I want them to be them and express it and create it here, because this is one of the best places to live on Earth. And I also want to see people doing more with water, with our lakes, streams, and rivers, because there's tremendous potential there too. You know, we could be getting fish from the water too. Why not? Why not do it that way? Why not find other ways to do things? You know?
Yeah.
I want to see us do more here.
Something a little more than just yellow pike.
Right. Right. We could do so much with it.
Anything else you guys want to talk about, or we're wrapping it up?
We could talk about forever.
Yeah.
I love working with Val. I mean, I've worked with Mike A for years in his universe when I was part of his operations, but having a good relationship where we can understand each other, it's critical to delivering the best we can to people, because that's where the magic happens. Saying, okay, can you do it a little bit like this? Like little tweaks, little shifts. Those fine details are what takes us from just to like, oh man, what was that?
Yeah.
And the feedback. Michael is super honest about feedback all the time. And like, you have to listen to what everybody says, whether you like it or not. You have to take it all in. You can't let it affect you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it just helps you to be better all the time. And if people don't want to hear that, then they don't want to grow and they don't want to be better. And I remember the first time we were developing our dish, and I made a broth, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's like, nah. I was like, okay. And that was the only person that was honest.
Really? I'm a no-man.
Guess who changed the broth and made it better?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's important.
Very important. I respect that. And I was like, thank you for that. He's like, you're the only person that actually is honest and don't lie to my face.
Yeah. Because
after you taste something too many times, sometimes you get lost and your taste buds are, como se dice?
Right.
Clogged.
They're not aware.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes part of the background. They lose sensitivity because they're just conditioned to that context.
Mm-hmm.
It's why you have to refresh your palate between different glasses of wine. You can't overtaste in the evening because your palate will get exhausted.
Correct.
So, you know, always changing it up, always just looking at the same thing from new perspectives to see it new ways, because that's how you grow. That's how you change. Mm-hmm. That's how you innovate.
Well, coming from Buffalo, the city of magic, I'm Newell Nussbaumer.
Right.
I'm Newell Nussbaumer, and this is Building Buffalo. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.